forever. Dog. Mother. Mother.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, April 4th, 10 a.m. on the Pacific coast of the United States of America here in Glendale, California, where the weather is chance of rain. We're getting a little moisture in the air. I'm back in... I'm back in the saddle. Why aren't I singing for AC/DC? That's all he's doing.
Yes, why aren't you in AC/DC?
Why aren't I singing for them?
Yeah,
therefore in. Hit the sack. I'm back in my garage to do another episode of Office Hours Live. We've got a terrific show today. We've got Zachary Treif. And Christian Hansen, not Chris Hansen from Dateline, unfortunately. That's what we were sold. A bill of goods, I like to say. One bill of goods, please. You think anyone ever wants a bill of goods? I would say generally. I'll take one bill of goods, please. Coming up. No, these are the two gentlemen behind American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders, now streaming on Netflix, which I am a proud subscriber of. And I'm watching everything Netflix puts out, all their TV shows. I have much to say about that later in the show.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
There we go. And the boys are sitting here after a tremendous screening at Vidiot's here in Los Angeles the other night that Doug went to. Of course, I was invited.
Good morning.
And DJ Doug Pound is in the house. Hard at work.
Whoa.
And... over my left shoulder is Victor Berger the Fourth, of course.
What's sip, everybody?
And the Captain Carlin era is finally over. We're closing the book and moving on. And it is, we should do a, maybe we could throw a clip of that moment, famous moment from the end. Well, it was the beginning of what became the Iraq War, but it felt at the time was the end of the Iraq War, is when the soldiers were taking the big statue of Saddam Hussein.
Oh, yeah.
And they roped it up and they tore down the statue. Or the image of the Reichstag in Germany at the end of the war when the big giant swastika was detonated by dynamite.
Remember Gaddafi, that whole thing? That
Gaddafi
situation?
Dragged through the street.
Yeah. This or is a very when Bush had the... mission accomplished.
You are now. That is the moment we mark today, the end of Captain Carlin's reign of terror on the Office Hours.
This is Captain Matt here.
And Matt, what are you working on, Captain Matt?
Matt is the captain. No.
Oh, what is this?
Just seeing Matt's little body walk out onto the stage.
We're going to introduce you to our worm farm.
Now, Matt is insisting on vacationing this week in the city of Mexico City. So our old friend Alec is back here. Good to see you, Alec. Alec, give me your natural room tone voice, your natural speaking voice.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Great. You got that noted? No, but you came in this morning and you're boisterous. Yeah, you've got a big, booming voice.
Hey, I'm a substitute teacher as my day job. Oh, yeah. So, you know, wrangling those kids is no issue.
Well, I hope one of these teachers out there gets sick with the flu so you can get some hours in.
TikTok is turning kids trans.
All right. Couple announcements here, and then we're going to talk to the Octopus Murder Boys. That's what I'm calling you guys. The Octopus Murder Boys. Patreon is where you find us. It's really the engine that fuels the show. It is the gasoline that pumps into our tank. And there's lots going on there. We were up in Portland a few weeks ago for Tim Fest. We did the live office hours. That show is up there for patrons only. And then this Saturday, April 6th at 6 p.m. Pacific, we are back for the first game night of 2024. Yeah. The full Trinity will be around these tables back here playing bingo or whatever games we've managed to get from Target.
What did you do on Saturday?
We're going to do a two-hour two-on-one, full two-on-one checkers tournament. It'll be me and Vic versus Doug playing checkers.
Two-on-one?
With all red pieces, though, that's sort of, it's kind of a combination of checkers and memory. You have to remember where your pieces are.
I was going to challenge you to war. Remember that game?
The cards?
Yeah. Put some money on it.
All right. And of course, you're out there in the world. The whole world is watching, of course. We're the number one. I'm going to take this from another podcast that keeps claiming this. We are the number one live comedy podcast. Okay? And I dare you to prove me wrong.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some others that are live.
Happy Easter, Vic. I don't know. We were off last week and... it was nice to have a break, but I hope everyone's doing well out there. We have our Zoomers who can call in at any time, and we could speak to them. We also have the Hothead Hotline, if we want to put that up. That would be a lot of fun. We also are going to, we have a special interview guest calling in later, and we'll have a Doug game. And I like to set the table for the show, don't you think, Doug?
Yes.
And we'll do that by just welcoming somebody from out there. I don't care who it is, Alec. This is your big chance to make a difference on the show.
Hello?
Who the hell should we say hi to? And don't worry, boys. I will say hello. I mean, we're going to get into it. Believe me.
Last time we did a show with Tim, the guest sat there an hour. No one is talking to him, and I'm staring at him the whole time. It's stressing me out.
Well, we could do the Tonight Show thing where we welcome them in and have...
I mean...
What
if they have something to say? What if they want to say
something? I told them.
Before they're introduced.
They are welcome to chime in. Okay. This is a natural. Everybody should feel really cool and relaxed.
Anybody
don't
there?
You?
It stinks.
Anybody there?
Well, let's just. Christian, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm doing well.
Zachary?
Good.
Yeah. Okay, good. There you go. Sure. There's your interview with the Octopus Murder Boys. They're calling me Charlie Rose 2.0. What?
When are we going to get into the questions about their movie?
Didn't I just establish that we just welcome everybody to the show, we bring in a Zoomer, and then I said we're going to get into it.
All right, let's get the Zoomer in then.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Anybody there? Hello?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
I feel like I'm interrupting office hours.
Come on, kid, you're nervous.
Hey, what's up, dudes?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hello.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah.
It's Max.
All right, Max.
What's up, fellas? Tim, you're the only one of the crew I didn't get a hug from in Portland.
Oh, looks like I dodged a bullet.
It was the strongest hug and the nicest, warmest hug I've ever gotten.
And Lieutenant Carson was walking by. I said, Captain! And he turned around. I thought he was just going to wave. He turned around, ran over me, gave me a hug.
Carson?
Captain Carlin.
Oh, Captain Carlin. Yeah. Okay.
He said Lieutenant Carlson.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah. I get them mixed up.
All right. Well, good morning.
And
to
I was
you.
Also the one that said. I was also the one that said. Oh no, not Chase.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well,
not a huge fan.
Poor Chase.
Not a huge fan.
Anything else, or are we just? Should I let you get back to whatever you're up to?
I brought people who aren't familiar with either shows to both days, and they had a great time. You guys did great.
Great. Do you want to do a drop impression for us? I know you're. Eager to...
Hey guys, it's Jeremy Renner.
There you go.
Look at that.
What else you got?
Doug was number one. Sorry to every other thing, but Doug's performance.
I told Vic that later that night. Mm-hmm. I knocked on his room door, his bedroom, his hotel room.
Fast asleep. It was 2 a.m.
He goes, "What is it? What the hell? Is everything okay?" I go, "Everything's fine, Vic."
I take off my CPAP mask.
Knock on his door.
Just wanted to let you know that Doug was number one today. Good night. And I walked down the hall.
Good night.
That's a terrible thing to say, Max. You should have some grace and some respect for everybody that you're speaking to right now. Don't single someone out.
What a terrible question to ask.
Hey, guys, it's Jeremy Renner.
Don't listen. You did great. It felt like Greg was like on another level.
Stop ranking everybody.
But like, if I had to go through like.
You don't. You don't have to, man.
Number six. Hold on. Number six.
I hate when people complain. I mean, listen, I complain about things all the time. Believe me. And I have opinions and I'm petty and bitter about things. Mm-hmm. But when I see it written down, but somebody said that Fensler's bit at the show was too long.
Huh? Oh.
Just everyone shut up.
A person unbelievable. Said that. Because they knew it would get under your skin.
I know. Well, why do you want to get under my skin? It's not so great under here. It's disgusting, in fact.
You got to do that Tony Soprano one.
Oh,
I want to get. Oh, yeah. I need your skin.
I got to search for it.
Listen. Let's not get too like.
Let's hear it.
These drops, they have to come naturally. You can't just start talking. Oh, that would have been good.
Yo, which fucking guy there you go. Sing, yo.
Doug, those are for notes after the show. You know, when we do our sit down and we do the
we watch it back. We watch it.
The autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, Max. All the best. Let's
Thank
talk.
You, Max.
We got
the best. Love you.
We can do two things here. We can get into it with these guys. Or I could tell you my pants are too tight story from this from my recent trip. Or should we save that for later?
Pants are too tight.
No, you know what? I think people are eager to hear from you guys, and we will tease my pants are too tight.
Because all the Grady Fockers.
The name of my memoir I'm writing. My pants are too tight. The Al Roker story.
Cut the tape.
That's a good idea for a memoir. Like name it somebody else's story.
But it is your story.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Vic Berger here. And you know I don't like stress. That's why I'm personally inviting you to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious meals. Every Factor meal is fresh and never frozen. It's chef-created, dietitian-approved, and it's ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I tried the chef's choice meal plan, and it was a chef's kiss of meals that hit all the spots and filled our bellies at the Berger household. I know you're asking yourself, what were Vic Berger's favorites? Creamy Dijon pork tenderloin and garlic herb salmon. These are classic dishes that are ready to go with no cleanup and not a problem at all. So get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. And get back to doing what you love this spring. Now, these are premium meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Sign up now! Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50. OFFICEHOURS50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
So let's talk about, I'll tell you my background with this is I get texts from my mom a lot of the time. And she's often checking in and asking how I am and appreciate that. And also tells me what she's watching and what she's up to. And she wrote a few weeks ago, I'm watching The Octopus Murders on Netflix. Oh. Very good.
Mommy.
My mom comes in hard. Now, usually I don't follow through with the recommendations. No offense to my mom. Because often they are...
No, my mommy, I want her to come and fetch me.
A different... kind of programming that I'm not going to watch. But I don't say that to her.
What's a typical one she would recommend? Days of Our Lives?
Like a Norwegian cop show or something.
Yeah.
It's subtitles, but it's really good. But I said, you know, I was up in Toronto, so I got on my laptop, I started watching, and I got drawn in. Mm. So tell me a little bit, Zachary, you're the director.
Yep.
You're the subject, really, one of the subjects.
The researcher.
Yeah.
Tell us, from your perspective, how you got involved, but maybe first, like a broad macro view of the series.
Octopus? Yeah. I'll start. I got involved with this because my friend, Christian, who I grew up with in Kentucky.
Kentucky boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very, yeah. Very
taken from inside of my mind.
Very tasteful. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We grew up together. Christian we both moved to New York around the same time, and he, at some point in his journey, had started, he was like a photojournalist working mainly with the New York Times. But on the side of that, he started talking about this story, this journalist, Danny Castellaro, who had died a year into an investigation into a piece of software. And he died in 1991. And Christian told me about that, and maybe he should talk more about what that process it was. But I got into it just because I'm a filmmaker, I guess, mm-hmm. but mostly in like independent or like fictional.
Yeah, you weren't thinking about making a documentary.
No, it was just a friend that he would bounce ideas off of or tell me about this stuff.
And he's a great skeptic, so...
Do you think you're not a skeptic? You want to believe? Is that your...
I went through a process of... My mic sounds...
No, you sound good.
Okay. I went through a process of sort of kind of vetting and sort of... I went a little nuts at a certain point, and I couldn't tell what was real and what wasn't at a certain point. Mm. And so it was just great to talk to Zach because he would kind of like kick the tires really well on these ideas. He's a great listener, and he's really intelligent.
Now, I want to be careful because, obviously, this documentary has been out, what, like a month or two?
Month, I think.
A month. Yeah. So I want to talk about some stuff about it that, if you haven't seen it, might spoil things for you, or I don't know. But so if you haven't seen it yet, whatever, it's your fault. And secondly, you can always pause this and watch the documentary because I do highly recommend it. Where are you now? This is kind of cutting to the end of the conversation, but where are you now in your mind with what you were once so obsessed with or maybe on board with?
Well, I mean...
Does this continue on?
There's so many different avenues and estuaries like that come out of the larger kind of... Well, the story itself, you know, in episode 3 when we expand out and show all these different tentacles... Yeah. Like, we only just show the tentacles.
Go deep down the rabbit hole.
Right, of all of those different, like, crooked banks and arms dealers and all the different various aspects. But in all of those, there are great stories that I've already researched. Like, we just...
And are you convinced still, or were you ever convinced, or are you less convinced now that there is this kind of conspiracy with a big C, that kind of cabal or whatever you want to call it, something that's running things?
Not so simply, but there
it's just the nature of the systems that have been developed to run the world.
Private intelligence, organized crime,
national interest?
I think Danny's octopus is more of a metaphor. And it's also important to remember that he was, the materials that he left behind were largely book proposals.
Right.
So it's intentionally condensed and hyped up, you know, in order to like get a publisher excited about it.
A little salaciousness to it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say is like, it's important to remember that he's, you know, this movie is my view of Christian's view of him decoding Danny's notes. And so it's pretty subjective and intentionally so, not meant to be like an object, like this is how the world works. This is like our view of what this guy was up to. And he died mid-process. Like, he never finished the book.
Right. He might have come to any number of conclusions at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And he might have called it something different or whatever it was, but like at the snapshot in time where he died, he was calling it the octopus, and he had been working on it a year and gotten a lot of, I think what was later on in the official record in the investigations at the Department of Justice, FBI, Martinsburg Police, other whatever. He was kind of dismissed as like a kooky conspiracy theorist or whatever. And our project, we weren't setting out to do this, but I think that what we found along the way was seeing that a lot of the things that he was onto he was more or less right about.
Right.
And there was a story there, whether there were liars lying to him, con artists in the mix, like there definitely were. But I think it's like he probably knew that. I mean, he definitely knew that too, to a certain degree. And so the idea of like, oh, there's eight people who run the world. And
right. That seems a little too storybook, right?
Yeah.
A little
too simple. I mean, maybe he at various points believed that when he was doing it, but I think it's easier to picture it as like a slight bit of a metaphor or a condensation, or even like the eight people that he chooses. They're different levels of importance, and and he actually showed that. He was like, there's the small operators, there's like people at the top like George H.W. Bush, who was at the time he died president of the United States of America, also had been vice president, also had been CIA director.
Right.
So it shows you the different stratification of this like kind of secret intelligence system.
Right. Well, Doug, you have a question, I'm sure. I'll give you two questions. Vic, you get no questions.
All right. I don't have any anyway.
So I got several questions. So the software thing is legit, like, because they sued the government and won.
Uh-huh.
So there's proof that there is corruption within the government. And you came to the conclusion, this is kind of a spoiler, but it's not really a conclusion, but at the end of the movie you said, Christian, well, he could have killed himself.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Breaking news, Doug. I'm getting a message from the control room. Can you give a quick show summary? Viewers confused. What are they confused about?
Oh, maybe just summarize the documentary real quick.
Oh, you know who's confused? Melissa Saputo. Oh. Melissa, what the hell's the matter with you?
Sorry, Melissa.
It's one person.
So, okay, a journalist was investigating government corruption, and then he was found dead in his hotel room, and they deemed it a suicide, and then they cremated his body.
Embalmed it.
Oh, I'm sorry, but they embalmed him really quickly, and it looks like it was a cover up.
He was researching over many years.
One year.
The potential collusion between what seemed like kind of a small story, which was this theft of some software. It was a kind of database software used by police. Police
investigators.
Yeah, and police investigators.
To survey people.
That was then sort of outsourced and exported to be used to spy on other governments.
With a secret back door in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is the allegation.
And they tried to steal it from the guy who wrote the software.
The Department of Justice.
They tried to bully him.
This led to connections with organized crime, with drug smuggling, with weapons.
Right. Because Iran-Contra was happening.
Iran-Contra is going. It's all sort of this, you start to see like the pins on the board connecting people. And it looked like he was in the process of sort of connecting a lot of dots about how this underworld of CIA espionage and illegal activity is kind of connected.
And I would just say, like, what Danny was doing, many of the scandals he was looking into had been reported, some of them had been reported independently, but what his big project was, what he called the Octopus, which is kind of like a network or an organization, but it's essentially him finding that, you know, the same people in this political scandal, which is usually like an intelligence scandal, like Iran-Contra, like intelligence operatives, those same people are involved with this scandal that's going on, BCCI, this bank that was out there kidnapping people.
Blackmailing people,
murdering people.
Slushing around money to terrorists.
This idea that all, like ultimately, that all of these ex and current intelligence people who had been in the intelligence community for a long time were straddling the line between sort of public work, like working at CIA, NSA, whatever that is, mostly CIA. Private intelligence working for like Reagan era. This is all Reagan era, mostly Reagan era.
Yeah.
And it goes back. Reagan era sort of like privatization of military and intelligence. And then the criminal world, which is like mostly
mob, mafia, organized intelligence.
And I think Iran-Contra is an important
organized crime
part of it, because Congress wouldn't pay for the Boland Amendment. Congress wouldn't pay for the U.S. troops to go to Nicaragua
to fight the.
So they have to like.
Or no, to yeah, to.
But Reagan wants to go anyway, and his CIA director William Casey, they want to do it anyway, and so they just like enlist this kind of ragtag group of, you know, profiteers and gangsters and ex-CIA people.
Right.
To
feels like this has always been happening for the, at least since the 20th century. It's important, but like it's they're like weeds. Like these things sprout up, and there are nefarious activities within the government. It gets there's a clampdown on it from various, you know, Congress. Investigations, and there's an attempt to like make things more transparent, and then it comes back, and it's just like the nature of
government
industry.
Well, people don't get in that much trouble, you know, when Congress clamps down. It's sort of like like the Iran-Contra investigation is so confusing. No one even really knew what was happening. And like
Oliver North had became like a you know celebrated talk
show. He ran for Senate. Ran for Senate,
had a talk show. Is he dead?
No.
No.
Oh, come on.
He was working for NRA for a while.
That should clear it up, but I do have a couple listeners asking, that makes sense, but when you say CIA, what do you mean? What? The CIA! No, I'm just kidding. No one said that.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, one more, and then I have to. We have to do other things.
Let me just do two quick questions. Were you in fear of your life when you were making this and researching this? Because
interesting question.
It opens up with somebody saying you got to like watch your back.
Yeah. Well, people said that a lot to us. That was like a mantra that we'd hear regularly. But yeah, a few scary things happened. The most scary thing I did, like Zach was deep in the edit, and in the early days we would go around together and knock on people's doors, and basically we were deep in the edit, and he couldn't leave New York, but we needed to go back. I needed to go back out and shake the tree. We needed to get some more information to, you know, in order to finish the movie.
Yeah,
and so I went out solo, and had, you know, a camera and some audio equipment. And I can't really say where I was going
no one's watching.
Some of these people didn't go on the record, but they did talk to me.
Yeah,
and
you went to the White House.
I met this guy in a parking lot. You know, he knew I was coming
at Epstein Island,
and and basically we had this conversation near the parking lot for about 4 hours.
Wow.
And
security guard didn't come over and be like, man, get out of here. No.
It was more him interviewing me. Mm. But I was like, I flew all the way, because we would talk on the phone. I was like, I flew all the way out here to like talk to you, because he was always like, I don't know you, man. I don't know you. Why am I going to talk to you? So he's like, all right, well, then I'm going to come out and introduce myself. So then you'll know me and you can stop saying. And so then when I would ask him a question, he'd be like, well, it's like an umbrella. And you know, it's, And the thing, and I'm like, what are you? What does that mean? That I can't do anything with that.
Yeah. He's like, I already have a metaphor. It's an octopus.
Yeah.
similar anatomy of a thing.
And so then the conversation kind of died down after, you know, about 3 or 4 hours. And it's like, so what are you doing the rest of the day? And he said, well, I'm going out to my property. My wife's an excellent cook. You're more than welcome to come out and spend a couple days, hang out. And I was like, okay, all right. And I was actually planning on spending some time. Like, I wasn't flying out of this area for another 2 days, hoping that this would happen. And he said, the only catch is you're going to have to be blindfolded on the way out there. And you're going to have to leave your phone in your rental car and leave the rental car, and I'll drive you. And so
I actually do have plans. I don't know if I can.
So yeah, I checked in with Zach back in New York and told him that I had a good feeling about it. It's just this was his security precaution.
Should you put an AirTag up your butt?
No, but we bought an AirTag immediately after that. But although he would have been notified if the AirTag like lets everyone know
it's there. Okay.
What if he said, my wife's an excellent cook and your dinner?
So I grabbed my suitcase out of the rental, put it in his car, and I took my sleep mask from the plane and put that on. I was like,
oh, you did? You went through with this?
Yeah, yeah. I went out there.
Jesus.
And he was carrying.
Yeah, he showed me his gun, and there were guns everywhere. And at a certain point, I was like kind of asking him questions about this one matter. Late at night, we were sitting in his shed, and like,
his shed.
He did like
I never knew, want to sit in a guy's shed.
Yeah. Well, it was like, you know, there was like it was like kind of the hangout area where you smoke cigarettes and
gotcha.
You know, hang out and I guess build things if you want to.
The big shed.
Yeah, yeah, it was a huge shed.
It's a garage.
Yeah, it's a all right. It's a cave, a masculine cave. So basically. I revealed to him through my questioning that I knew a lot about this particular situation, and he got spooked and was like, "How do you know that? How do you know that?"
This didn't come up in the 4-hour parking lot.
No.
Okay.
And
what were you talking about? Sports?
And I basically like just like had to come up with a neutral answer.
Right.
But I was able to come up with something that you know,
alleviated,
but there was like I could see a gun like right there. Just,
how many days were you there?
I was there like 2 days.
Jesus. And was she a good cook?
Excellent.
All right, we're gonna talk more. Here's what I'm gonna do. We're gonna talk more octopus murders later in the show. We got things on the questions. Schedule. You guys are happy?
Great,
more or less.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these guys. First of all. Mutual friends, John Early. What did he hosted the
yeah, he did the Q&A of our
Q&A
videos.
Your brother-in-law is
Will Oldham.
Okay, so these are friends. This is we got family.
Friend of the show.
Family in town. Let's do City of the Day. City of the Day. Okay, the City of the Day is sponsored by none other than Yoko Ono's No Yo-Yo. Yo, bro, don't you hate it when someone is being a chode in public, but you don't have the guts to say anything? Well, now there's a cool new spool that'll school any fool. It's Yoko Ono's No Yo-Yo. With the flick of a wrist, the built-in speaker will emit an ear-splitting screech that will stop any jerk in his tracks and shock them into self-reflection, causing a reversal in their bad behavior. For example, some asshole cuts in line, No Yo-Yo. A jerk doesn't pick up his dog poo? No yo-yo. Some fuck is using his phone in the cinema? No yo-yo. So don't lose hope. No scope, some blokes, and get some YOLO with Yoko Ono's No yo-yo. Now let's loco and pogo to the Jello jingle. Oh, second verse. All right.
That was awesome.
All right.
So vibe in there. I like that.
I have some notes, but we'll talk about that later. let's find out who is the city of the day.
No notes.
Hopefully it's from an undisclosed location in honor of... Good eye,
Disclosing location. This is Lunenburg, Nova Scotia.
Lunenburg. Nova Scotia. Very good. Canada.
It's in Canada, yes. Last time I did City of the Day a couple of years ago, I lived in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Right.
But I've since moved.
Okie dokie. Right, thank you very much.
Just give you a quick weather report. I can't see outside because there's too much snow.
Oh my Lord. Look at that. I didn't realize you're getting all that snow up there.
Yeah, it's too bad for us. Thank you.
All right. Well, good luck with all your microphones and the and beautiful arms and everything. Great to hear.
Much appreciated.
We do have a very special guest who happens to be streaming right now. We're going to try some new technology here. We're going to cross streams, as they say, with the son of presidential candidate Donald J. Trump. Whoa. Don Jr., as is known, is joining us here. We have. Can we get John? John. Donald John Trump Jr. I wonder if Don Jr.'s middle name is John as well. Can we find out about
it? It has to be. Don John.
Don John. We're waiting to connect with Don John. He's still connecting. I see.
Never has good Wi-Fi.
Out there, he's broadcasting from, I think, Montana, from his ranch in Montana. And we await his... So there's six episodes, is that right?
Four episodes.
Yeah. Just like in golf, right? When you feel like you're about to hit somebody, you have to yell four.
Correct.
It's an easy way to remember how many episodes of your
That's
show.
How we did it, yeah.
Yeah. And this is from the same people that invented the, not invented, the the Duplass.
Yeah.
The duplicitous Duplass, I call him.
And there's another brother.
Oh, here comes Wes.
The Way Brothers, also.
Who are the Way Brothers?
They did Wild Wild Country.
Oh, right. Yes.
They directed it.
Wild Country is great, of course.
And they do a bunch of the sports docs on Netflix called the Untold series.
Yes.
And
I haven't seen the Untold series. I'd probably like, it's like 30 for 30.
There's one about Marty Fish, the tennis player.
I don't know Marty Fish.
He it's called Breaking Point. He has a anxiety breakdown, like at the U.S. Open.
Oh, wow. Like the scene in the Royal Tenenbaums. Remember?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Taking off both of his shoes and one of his socks.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody do more mouse work than Alec. Is everything okay?
I think we have
Don.
Is he coming through?
Don is on.
Don Jr. Waiting to hear from you. I know you had some issues on your end.
You guys are the best.
I'm not seeing him up on my screen.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, hey, Don. Wait, back. Wait. Oh, Don, can you go back for a second? Can you restart your computer, please? Don, we're having some issues.
Oh, no.
Don, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on. Hello?
You guys are the best.
All right, well, that means a lot. What are you drinking there? I saw you drinking that earlier. What are you drinking?
What am I drinking? I'm drinking a Celsius. I just needed some caffeine. It's a little late for too much caffeine because I won't go to sleep. But I almost did not sleep at all last night for some reason. I kept waking up and really never actually got to sleep. It was a... That was a long night, so I needed some caffeine because about like 20 minutes before the show, I hit a wall. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Don't want to be low energy, right? Way to get thrown out of the Trump family.
No, I was going to say we got some guys from Kentucky here. Do you have any connection with Kentucky or hunting? Do you hunt elk there?
Do you hunt in eastern Kentucky?
I'm actually a Duke of Hazzard.
Oh.
And I'm also a Kentucky colonel, and I have a lot of friends out there. In the coal mining space, and my son shot his first elk there, actually.
Really?
I've done that hunt. It's actually a great hunt. It's really, really cool. The scenery is incredible. The people are awesome. You know, you usually think of elk as being further out west.
Yeah, I do.
But no, that's a great hunt with great people. I've had a lot of good times there.
And do you ever use a recurve, is it called a recurve bow? You know, like a recurve?
Actually, I use a recurve bow all the time. Well, at least when I left New York, I haven't joined like a club here for it.
Right.
But when I left New York, I was my recurve and compound local bow club champion. So I can do bow. I spent a lot of time learning how to shoot a recurve / longbow real well. Shooting just bare bow.
Yeah. We always ask this for our guests. What's your favorite food? Do you have a favorite food that you can think of? Like,
my favorite food?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Not a lot beats like an awesome steak for me. I mean,
yeah.
I can just do like, I'm a steak and potatoes kind of guy.
Yeah, me too.
Although, I mean, I could say I could also be a pretty serious pasta kind of guy. Or, you know, I like a lot of Japanese food as well. And, you know, Korean. I'm a foodie. So
yeah.
I sort of like a little bit of everything. My mom was Eastern European. So like I can eat everything because, you know, they all did.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, man. Listen, let me get you back to your show. We're going to go back to our show. And thanks for piping in. You're always welcome.
I will give your favorite president, my dad, I'll give all of you their best. I will say that you said hi, even the losers and the haters, and as he would so eloquently say,
yeah.
In the comments. So I hope you guys have an awesome night.
Thanks, man.
Be good, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Don.
One,
be good, buddy.
Three.
Happy hunting.
It's kind of like
cool.
It.
That's amazing.
Thank you, fellas.
Nice guy.
Really nice guy and a really good hunter.
Elk.
Yeah, elk, and he uses a bow and arrow and everything, a recurve bow.
Bear bow, I think.
Cool.
Bear bow's cool. Yeah, I do some bear bow. That's bows
is
for
that
bears.
Okay,
that's for shooting bears with arrows.
Not naked.
Of course, we have my pants too tight story, but do we have anybody on the hotline?
Very curious about this story.
I bet it took place on the plane. That's my guess.
Mm.
Did they split open?
I'm not telling you anything.
He's the investigator.
Yeah.
Trying to get to the bottom.
Trying to get it out of me.
Was this a Lenny Kravitz situation? Or
do we have somebody on the hotline?
Matt from Spokane, you are home.
Matt from Spokane.
Okay.
Is this you, Matt?
Are you an ice cream truck driver?
Matt, Matt, are we on hold?
Hi, guys. Hello?
Yes, how are you? Can you turn your music off?
I don't have any music.
You don't have a CD collection or anything?
On your end.
How can we help you today, Matt?
Well,
hello?
Wait, there's two people.
I'm being interrupted by someone. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, who's there?
Hello, this is Matt from Spokane.
And the woman's voice is?
I don't know who that is. That's not on my end.
Oh, I think we had cross signals here. So Matt, what can I help you?
Yeah.
How can I help you today?
I just had two quick impressions and one.
What are you, Matt Friend?
One. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Would you like to hear the first impression?
Yes.
All right. So the first impression is Kurt Russell. So I love Kurt Russell, right?
Oh, I think it's a Kurt Russell.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I understand what he's doing. Okay. Just let him go, I think.
All right. You're right, Doug. Sorry.
So,
far be it for me to interrupt anything.
So it's like, here's how the impression goes. Because every Kurt Russell film, he's so emphatic, right? He's like, heck! So you got to start the impression like, heck! Heck, Will! Shut the heck! Right?
Yeah.
And then you got to add in Goldie. Heck, Goldie wants to invite you up to the ranch in Montana. And
all right.
Wyatt's going to be there. Heck.
Okay, impression one didn't draw me in, but let's hear impression number two.
All right. Impression two is Bob Dylan doing cover song.
Pardon me?
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here it is. What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just a stranger.
Those are your two?
On a
any more?
I also have David Lynch.
Oh, I'll hear David Lynch. Let's see if we can just right. Pull out from the full crash landing here.
All right, but you're still going to let me play a song, right?
Yeah.
I wrote it. So you want to hear the David Lynch?
That's right.
You're going to have to speak up. Sorry, Tim. You're going to really have to speak up. I can't hear you.
That's great. We did it. We pulled out of the crash landing. Oh, Lord. All right, we're going to get your song next week.
I thought that was a drop.
I thought
that
was I used to do a David Lynch that I could sometimes do.
Do you mind if I stay on the line?
I like documentary. Yes, you can stay on the line, sir. We're just going to mute you.
Wait, what was the song, though? Did you do the song?
Vic, please.
Tim, I have I have The Rock doing an impression of you.
Oh.
So here's Tim.
Oh.
And here's The Rock.
Oh.
Right. Somebody spotted that.
It was interesting having Kurt Russell impression because we're staying at his nephew's house. So there's Kurt Russell pictures everywhere.
It's all connected.
Listen, I have uncles. I don't have pictures of my uncle everywhere. What the hell's the matter with this nephew?
I'm going to do a documentary about you guys.
I mean, they're not everywhere, but there's one right next to the fridge where I'm opening the fridge and there's Kurt.
I like this guy's got Kurt Russell posters everywhere. He's like, so you really are Kurt Russell's nephew. Gives a shit.
Well, I think with the Will Oldham and the John Early,
there's a lot of name dropping around.
You could
here.
Do an. I'm going to do an octopus documentary about you two.
Yeah,
and how you connect with the different
people we know.
We might do one about you.
Okay.
I think you should make a documentary about me. Honestly, lots to cover. I've got lots of secrets.
Now I'm getting excited.
Okay. Now are you working on anything new?
I mean, we just finished this. Yeah. Like, okay. Right.
Calm down.
I'm disappointed. You really wanted to hear.
I have another great question.
Yes, go ahead.
We got ideas.
Sorry, Jack. We also had, as soon as we released it, it was like, oh, we'll take a little break. It's like people started calling and being like, I actually was like this person's.
I mean, this could be a whole series. This is almost a jumping off point, isn't it?
It could be. We did not design it to be any more than what it is.
Right.
You know, it's not like.
Now, how does the collaboration work? Because you start as the subject.
No, I didn't start as the subject.
No,
that came later. I mean, I was producer. He's the director, and
you have say over the film. In other words, some documentary subjects, it's like no, there's a wall that says. I'm making this about you, and it's interference if you're meddling in how it comes out. But this is a collaboration, correct?
Right. Okay, so in the film, we pick this guy up from prison.
Yes. And what was that guy's name again?
Michael Reconosciuto.
Yeah. That name, Michael Reconosciuto. Mm-hmm. It's said so many times in the documentary. It's a great word.
I can see why you like this movie because you seem to be drawn to interesting, eccentric characters.
Absolutely.
And there's so many interesting characters on
there. Sure are.
So we pick him up from prison.
We picked him up from prison a long time ago, actually, like in 2017.
Right.
So, and that was an important moment for us. And so we knew that at some point we would enter the documentary because, like,
subjects in the documentary.
But it's not like tooting our own horn. Like, it's got to be about us. I mean, I sort of have a natural. Aversion to people who make a documentary about something and then it's really just about them.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like when you brought this up on the show, Christian sent me the clip and you were like, the director's in the movie though. And it's like,
I said that?
Or somebody said it. And it's like, I have the same feeling.
It's like, you know what I hate in documentaries is when they're like, maybe I've said this before, but when they're like, you're watching the documentary and then they're like, okay, and this goes here, and the setup, and
clapper.
It's like, cut that out!
Yeah, they're always
That's the shit you're supposed to, what is that, a lazy editor? Cut that part out!
It's like, oh, it's so real.
Yeah, it's like, it was fine, I don't know who did it first, somebody did it first, and then it just became like, well, we gotta show them zooming in, and focusing, and boom, coming in.
So we knew at some point we would enter the story, because, you know, we're picking this guy up, the shaky cameras, we're in the car with him.
Because it's not just because we want to know the story. It's like Danny Casalero, who he was researching for 12 years, met Michael Reconosciuto in prison the week that he went to prison in 1991.
Right.
March of 1991. And 26 years later, Christian and me are picking him up from that that sentence. So there's like a bookend that's very important.
Right.
Both narratively and for us to like... find out what Michael knows.
Yeah, so you're like the son of the guy that was killed. You're like the son growing up and continuing the saga or something. It's like, that's how I see it.
And you look like him.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that becomes a part of it, yeah.
But quick question. A guy from Boeing, a whistleblower, found dead. Do you have any opinions on that?
You know, just the same as anybody else. We haven't gotten any secret files yet on that case.
Yeah, but it does seem like this is a move. You cause enough trouble, you're going to eventually...
But why not do it... Why do it...
After the testimony?
Mid-deposition. He was set to do the third and final day. Why not do it?
Sloppiness? Incompetence?
The assassin had, another appointment?
My thing is, I wonder how much... Because, here's my take on conspiracies and everything is two things is like people are generally too blabby and chatty and you know, it's hard to keep secrets.
Yeah.
And things get out and then people are just too like self-interested and incompetent often for like major things, and it involves too many people. So like every conspiracy you'd have to go, well, but that means this person would have to know and that person, and it's like, how do you keep all those people quiet? Which makes a lot of things, to me at least, kind of fall apart, even though the intentions might be
to... We know that they're... Yeah, yeah. I have the same sort of like... Maybe the movie was a process of me like grappling with that skepticism, but I have the same sort of like starting place as that. But we know there are, you know, conspiracies, which is to say, like, how we see a conspiracy, it's like a criminal act perpetrated by
multiple
people.
Yeah.
Right. And so like there are those kinds of conspiracies because they're prosecuted in America.
Hey, the Lincoln assassination was as textbook conspiracy as you can get.
If you look at the coup in Iran or like the things that was going on in South and Central America, those coups, it's like there were cover-ups and lies, right. and the way
there was
you do
a plan,
it,
and it was.
Yeah. And I think that our show, to me, was a sort of like a personal reckoning with trying to figure out like how does that work? How is it possible? And a few of the things that we came up with. I mean, one is compartmentalization, which is like this person only knows about this little part of this thing,
right?
And they don't get to see the full.
That's right.
Idea.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is some of the characters we go into are unconventional, I guess.
Yes, unstable.
So that when they tell you something, it is truth mixed with lies, and you can never quite figure out what's real and what's not. And that's a really useful thing if you're pulling off something that's either criminal or secret, to not know, you know, the New York Times isn't going to publish something that they don't know is credible, you know, one would assume. So I think there are ways to do it. It's just not, you know, not everything is a conspiracy. It's like,
right.
You know, there's a lot of total nonsense.
Are there any conspiracies, like classic ones that you might go for, such as?
JFK assassination.
JFK, moon landing, inside job.
Moon landing.
9/11.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
Rank the conspiracies.
I always avoided.
Chemtrails.
Listen to
the Joe Rogan experience. I'm waiting for that.
Well, in Pennsylvania, there's a senator who proposed banning chemtrails. Do you see that?
Ban Bigfoot. Well, who knows what's in that shit? I don't know. You can't know everything.
Probably not chemicals.
The 1980 election. I don't believe the way we talk about it in the show.
That's a great moment in the documentary that is not taught in history. There's some other documentaries that go into that period of time, but there's no question that the Reagan campaign, people within the Reagan campaign, went through backdoor channels to delay the release of the American hostages in Tehran for the explicit benefit of it affecting Jimmy Carter.
And that's Reagan, not the president, as a private citizen doing... you know, diplomacy,
right.
Making deals.
That's pretty well documented.
Is William Casey, who was an old
CIA/OSS,
you know, war hero from World War II, who then becomes the head of the CIA for Reagan.
I'll tell you what.
And worked for Wackenhut as outside counsel.
It was Wackenhut I never heard about. What a name, huh?
Yeah.
That's how Christian got started on this, really.
Yeah, I was writing about the private prison industry.
Yeah.
And
which I love, by the way.
Right.
Which we're all fans. is this show sponsored by Wagoner?
Yeah.
And they did many things, but I was introduced to Wackenhut through their private prison concern, like the cutout of their corporation, Wackenhut Corrections. And they were the OGs. They were the first private prison in the U.S. with a immigration detention center.
Okay.
These guys are just great. So then I was just like, what the fuck is Wackenhut? You know, why is it? And so I started looking into the company's past, and I find that there was this, these plans to make chemical and biological weapons on this Native American reservation in the Coachella Valley, and that this journalist died, you know, looking into that operation and among other kind of things from the 1980s. And Danny Kessler seemed like a cool guy. His book that he was working on seemed off the wall and fascinating.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? I mean,
when you learn about Danny, you see like what you seem like from all the home video footage and sort of that stuff, you just get a sense he's probably like seemingly like a pretty normal, good, honest man.
Yeah.
So to watch his trajectory is very compelling.
I thought Pizza Hut was Wackin' Hut was a Pizza Hut porn shop.
See, I thought it was trying to take out those little radio flyer things that kids use, the Wagon Hut. There was a competing business, Wagon Hut. Wagon Hut.
All right? I don't know.
I think yours is definitely better.
Okay, I'll try.
If you want to go down the Max route of ranking things, sure.
I'm glad Reagan did.
Can I ask about the initial software that they're putting out? Wouldn't eventually... I know. No, but wouldn't eventually, like... The countries like realize like when the software catches up or like evolves that, oh, this was planted here. You know, this was the American government was behind it. Why would I ever trust them again? Kind of thing. You know,
that's such a good question.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
It's
broken clocks, well, right? Just kidding.
No, there's like a million ways to go on this, but like
question.
The idea is like, or the, if you're really digging into this, like the timeline, If you believe that the NSA and CIA had sort of gone through this route of planting a backdoor into the software, they had access to the software in the early 80s. The revelations about what had supposedly happened with the backdoor happened in like kind of like late 80s, early 90s. So there would be a decent amount of time in which they could have been sort of stealing the information through it if that's how, what happened.
I think it
that's
goes to this like notion that I think Adam Curtis says in Hypernormalization, which is like, to the extent by which most people don't understand how the systems that make this modern world work is extreme. Like I'm sure most people in government don't know how anything they're using actually works.
Right.
And like who amongst them is even aware that of what's happening under the hood or in the data centers. And, you know, it can be so easily manipulated because who really knows?
Yeah, or the intelligence operatives who are sort of like doing what they're doing behind the scenes, operating this kind of gray zone between legal and illegal, especially in the 80s and 70s. Pretty fascinating covert world that Danny was going into.
Hey, did you see this story on CNN this morning? There was a robbery that stole $30 million from a money storage facility somewhere up in California.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I just saw it this morning. which I didn't know there's a place where money is stored. It seems like a good place to rob.
Yeah,
they came in through the
bank.
They came in through the roof and took $30 million.
Cash with a big like, vacuum cleaner or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
What are you looking at CNN for? Of course, the MNS or whatever mainstream media.
Can't find the story now, but it was
crap.
And then the other big thing that happened today is Michael Douglas found out he's related to Scarlett Johansson. Oh, and so, I mean, that's all crazy. There on the front page.
That's part of my octopus documentary.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we do this? We're just about it. Let's take one quick zoomer, and then we'll take a little poo-poo break because I know everyone here has to use the number two, right? We're going to be a nice long line.
Taking a, what's it called, a 210?
Yeah, 210.
A 10-1, a 10
a 10-2.
10-2. 10-2.
Justin Owens, you are on.
Who?
Hello. Thanks for taking my question.
Thanks. Do you have any Kurt Russell impressions for us?
No, don't.
No,
don't.
Don't even think about it.
That's the best I can do. So I was curious about what the post process was on the Darkie series. And what it was like trying to get it on Netflix.
The what process?
Post-production.
The post-production. So editing.
And what was the second question?
Oh, and
getting it on Netflix.
Like, yeah, what was it like trying to get it on Netflix?
Upload it.
Because
anyone can upload to Netflix now. It's like YouTube. Hey, why not?
Why not? I should.
Netflix, why not?
We pitched the idea. I'll take the second question, and Zach can answer it.
The editing process is like you get all the footage and you start editing it.
Yeah. But we were also we were investigating it. We were investigating it while we were editing, and which is a very unconventional.
Oh, that's
And I'd come up with some new shit and tell Zach about it. And then we'd be like, "Oh, well, we better go out to San Francisco," and like, and then it would like the story would kind of change. Which is
right.
I wouldn't recommend making a documentary that way. I would
because you have to have
investigate
a sort of
the story
line.
First. Yeah, and yeah. Then,
we kind of jumped into it, not really knowing where we would.
Are you self-funding this up to, like,
no,
how
was,
far?
We pitched it to Netflix okay. in 2019.
Okay.
And
you had something to show for it? You had
We had a deck.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Like a, no,
oh,
a teaser.
Oh, no, a teaser.
Because the Ways, our producers and Duplass, we made, like, a teaser together where we interviewed. Some of that footage actually ends up in the movie itself. Mm. And we had shot with Michael, which was self-funded, us going out and picking him up from prison in 2017.
Right.
So it was like a hodgepodge, but yeah, we had pitched it to Netflix and they eventually said yes. That was kind of
huge.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's huge. I don't know. It's like the process. It's just kind of like doing that and getting lucky, I guess. And then the post process was, like Christian said, it was just really long. We took way longer than we would have ever wanted to because it was such a complicated story. We had some like kind of rough breaks in terms of access and ways to tell the story, and it just became our lives for like 3 years.
But now, every person you talk to in this, there's got to be a point where you have to say, "So I need you to sign this because if you don't, you can't use them." Whoa!
Oh my God!
Who is?
They're coming in.
It's earthquake! Hold on. By the way, give me a shot of this. I want to. Maybe Matt. Captain Carlin has to answer for this. Look how everything is put on the wall.
He does not use a hammer.
This 3M magic sticky shit. What the hell do you think's gonna happen? Son of a bitch!
Hell, Matt. And Matt's at the pyramid.
Nothing broke.
No, but.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Pretty please. Like, I saw the series, and at the end, it's kind of like, oh, we could go deeper in, or we could just enjoy your life, or enjoy our lives. Please go deeper in. I want to see more of it. I really like it.
Why don't you let them do what they need to do for themselves? Stop worrying about it. You're not, believe me.
He's trying to get them
killed. Nothing's going to change for you, no matter what they find.
I'll get to watch it.
That's nice
of
you to say.
Thank you so much.
Just watch Frasier. Or watch my work.
No, they need to play more tennis because Christian's got to work on his serve.
Oh, yes.
Damn. There's a fighting.
So wait, are you, did you hang up the still camera? Do you not do a...
I don't really shoot photojournalism anymore.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole other conversation of what that life was like.
Yeah.
Because you reported to me that you had saw Vic and I at the 2016...
Did you take a picture of me? No.
Okay.
2000... Just so people understand what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Maybe from afar, like on my cell phone. Like, yeah. Hey, look, it's Vic Berger.
At the DNC, when Vic and I did our special at the RNC and the DNC, and you said...
Saw you guys running around. Me? It was hot. It was Cleveland. Blazing sun.
It was in Philly. The DNC was in Philly.
Okay, so I saw you at the RNC.
Oh, in Cleveland. Yeah. That was
and then
the
I guess
one.
I was in Philly, too.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with the Octopus Boys.
Hmm.
And your calls. Doug's got a game that he's excited about, right?
Tim, are you going to tell us about your pants?
And I will tell you about my pants.
And I have some great more questions for you.
Well, yeah. We're going to do our best to get through everything. But thank you for joining us. And join patreon.com/officehourslive to access this extra hour and much more of the entire Office Hours universe that we built carefully from the ground up.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Keith. Do you want more from the Holy Trinity? Well, you're in luck because there's another full hour of this show at patreon.com/officehourslive. You'll also get access to Tim's Saturday morning blogs, game nights, the Joel Hole, and so much more with Office Hours Plus. The best part is it's only $5 per month or $55 for a full year because talk is cheap. I dare you to find a bigger bang for your buck somewhere else. Anyway, get all of the satisfaction you'll ever need today at patreon.com/officehourslive. And guess what? You'll get a free 7-day trial. How about that? Now put those sticky fingers to work and click on over there. Disgrace, a baby in the distance, crying in your face. Jackknife like a shockwave, and daddy gave us life.